is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, this is Brendan Winters from Pro Skills Basketball, and you are listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Hey, Hoop Heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoop Heads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoop Heads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hey, Hoop Heads. We all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Our mission is to create exponential generational change by creating the deepest connected coaching community in the world.
Asim Rastogi and Kyle Kavanaugh are the co-founders of Essential Coaching. Asim Rastogi is currently an assistant women's basketball coach at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts. He's a lead-em-up regional coach for the Northeast United States and has been a classroom teacher for 6 years in high school and middle school. Prior to his arrival at Brandeis, he was a successful head varsity girls basketball coach in Northern Virginia and has worked in every level of basketball except the WNBA and NBA. Asim holds a master's degree in adult and higher education and also intercollegiate athletic administration from the University of Oklahoma, and a Bachelor of Science in Sports Management from Old Dominion University. In addition, he is a trained anti-racism, diversity, and inclusion programming facilitator, specializing in issues surrounding race, privilege, and equity in athletics and education. Kyle Kavanaugh is the founder and creator of Five Star Hoops, a back-to-back state championship high school coach from Louisiana, and he serves as a lead-em-up regional coach for the Southern United States. Kyle earned his master's degree in industrial/organizational psychology from Louisiana Tech University, as well as his Bachelor of Science in Biology Education. Kavanaugh began his coaching career as a graduate assistant for the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs men's basketball program before moving to the high school ranks, where in conjunction with his coaching career, he has served as a classroom educator for the past 12 years. Don't miss our free Hoop Heads Pod webinar series on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you miss a live webinar, you can buy lifetime access to any of our previous webinars for $4.99 or get the entire library of over 21 hours and growing for just $79 on the Hoop Heads Pod website. If you're focused on improving your coaching and your team, we've got you covered. Visit hoopheadspod.com/webinars to get registered. Make sure you check out our new Hoop Heads Pod network of shows, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, and our team-focused NBA podcasts, Cavaliers Central, Grizz and Grind, Knuck If You Buck, and the 305 Culture Miami Heat podcast. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Shoot an email to info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Get ready to take some notes as you listen to this episode with Asim Rastogi and Kyle Kavanaugh from Essential Coaching. Hello, and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And tonight, we are pleased to welcome to the podcast from Essential Coaching, Asim Rastogi and Kyle Kavanaugh. Guys, welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. We are excited to have you guys on, dig into your new venture and the impact that you're trying to have on the coaching profession. It's something that is very near and dear to our heart here. And after having seen some of the things that you guys are putting out there, it aligns with many of the themes that we've had run through our podcast over the course of time that we've been doing it. So thought it'd be a great opportunity to get you guys in and let you share some of what you've been doing. I want to go back in time to when you guys were younger. And why don't we start with you, Asim, and just tell us a little bit about how you got into the game of basketball as a kid, and then we'll throw it over to Kyle after you finish up.
And first off, just appreciate you guys having us on. I think it's a really neat opportunity to share the game and to really just spread the message of what we're trying to do. But, you know, as far as my background, I am probably, I don't have a very typical path to this point in time. You know, when I was younger, I fell in love with the game at like 5 years old. And, you know, like one of the memories that I have of this is like, you know, when the secretary or somebody comes down to your classroom when you're a little kid and they're like, we have a letter to go home for a seam. And everybody in the class is like, ooh, I thought I was in trouble. But really, my mom had called the school to be like, hey, are there any sports leagues around? Because we don't really know. And our son is, you know, kind of raising hell in the house. So let's get him doing something active. And so she had actually asked the school to recommend a basketball league. And I ended up playing in that basketball league all through high school, which means I did not make a team when I was in high school. And I sort of carry that as a point of pride for myself, is that I didn't have the playing career that a lot of people, you know, who go into coaching or who go into coaching at a high level do.
Hey, Asim, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast. You're like the first person ever that's like me and didn't make a high school team. So welcome to the podcast, Asim.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
All right. So you got Asim, you got Jason in early, man. That's good work. You got him in. You got him in within 2 minutes of the podcast. You're doing something. You might have to win an award here.
Record time. I fell in love with the game, but there was no market for, you know, a 5'9" Indian guy with no skills who just couldn't move up and down the court, right? Like when I was younger, I was bigger than everybody, so they stuck me on the block, and that's kind of the way that coaching was, and coaching still is a lot of times. And then everybody else outgrew me, and there was no market for my skills on the court, and so I knew I wanted to stay involved, and, you know, long story short is I go from that to, you know, refereeing and coaching all through high school, all through college at Old Dominion. I got an opportunity when Wendy Larry was still the head coach at Old Dominion University. I got a chance to be a manager on the women's basketball team there my senior year while still working in athletics and working in student affairs on, you know, bridging the gap between athletics and, you know, the normal regular student body. And then went from there, went off to the University of Oklahoma on a full graduate assistantship and was coaching high school out there. So I was like a freshman boys assistant my first year out in Oklahoma in grad school, you know, and our practices were at like 6 a.m. because it was a 0 hour class out in Oklahoma. It was freshman boys basketball. And then once I graduated, like I got to take over that freshman boys program, graduated from Oklahoma with my master's in intercollegiate athletic administration and adult and higher education, started my real, like my career at the D1 level at VCU as the director of player personnel for the women's team, and learned a lot about what not to do in that job. I was not very good at my job, but also the situation that existed and like the mentorship and all that was like exactly the opposite of what you should do. So when we talk about like, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but like the transactional coaching versus the transformational coaching, I learned really well the transactional parts of running a program. But then the transformational parts of how to treat people and all of those things, I learned what not to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean I learned what to do. And so as somebody with like no necessarily like experience, quote unquote, as a player, I found myself learning all of those things as an adult. So fast forward, I actually get an opportunity to be, I leave that job after being promoted, go and spend about 3 months overseas with my family who all live in the UK and in Canada, and come back, transition into teaching after coaching AAU for a little while and like working at a rec center, just kind of getting my bearings after being back in the country. And I transitioned into teaching. And so a year and a half after leaving VCU, I get the job at my alma mater to coach as the head girls basketball coach at my alma mater, W.T. Woodson High School. And from there, I spent 3 years there, rebuilt that program. And then they call me in the day before teaching contracts are supposed to start and say, we're going in a different direction. No explanation, no nothing, but I'm still teaching at that school. I'm just not going to be the basketball coach. So down the street, there's a rival school. Their parents start calling me. Their players start reaching out. Their administration, everybody starts reaching out. They're like, hey, we saw what you did. We played against you for 3 years. We never beat you guys. Come over here. We need a head coach. So I take that job 2 weeks after being let go. And this is where Kyle was instrumental throughout that entire process. Our relationship really blossomed. And we'll get into that after he shares his story. But taking over at South County High School was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. And being let go was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. Because it allowed me to see the perspective of like, you know what, I'm going to do this thing my way. And I know what I was doing was right. And that's going to be validated. The way that I run the program the exact same way at a place that appreciates that, which is where really the human component part was born. We just hadn't phrased it that way. And so really took over there, had some great success. And now I'm entering year two after leaving that job to move with my fiance up to Massachusetts. I'm entering year two as an assistant women's basketball coach at Brandeis University, just outside of Boston. And, you know, couldn't be happier than to be in the situation that I'm in and working with the people that I'm working with, but especially Kyle through Essential Coaching.
All right, Kyle, I'll throw it to you. I got a couple follow-up questions for Asim, but I want to hear your part of it, and then we'll jump back and ask you both a couple questions.
Yeah. Again, thanks for having us on here real quick.
Well,
if you've heard Asim's story, you've heard pretty much my story. I mean, two people that probably couldn't be from more different places and probably had different paths kind of growing up, perhaps, have dealt with a lot of the same things at very similar times. And so for your listeners out there, they didn't skip back 5 minutes, but they're going to hear a lot of the same stuff. I did play growing up. I did play in high school. Loved playing a lot of different variety of sports as a kid. You know, I watched Christian Laettner hit the shot in, you know, 91 or so. I was like 6 years old. And so I was like, man, I want to do that one day. And so grew up playing a variety of sports and fell in love with basketball and gave up doing some other things to focus on that. Played in high school and had probably two of the smallest colleges you've never heard of in the country reach out about playing there, and had a decision to make and made a really difficult decision to sort of walk away from basketball, which is what I thought that I wanted to do. But I was actually also in the band. So I have I think I have a little bit of a unique path back to basketball. I went to Louisiana Tech on a music scholarship and was on the drum line there for 4 years and got a lot of really great opportunities and learned a ton doing that. I actually credit my music experience for a lot of my growth and development and learned a lot more from my band director, believe it or not, than I did a lot of the coaches that I played for. And when I was finishing up my education degree at Louisiana Tech, there was a coaching change and Kerry Rupp came in and took over at Louisiana Tech and was very fortunate to get a graduate assistant position under him for 2 years. And again, very much like a scene, you sort of learn the ins and outs of how to run a program, the very transactional side of things, you know, where uniforms come from, how the water bottles get filled, who actually prints off those scouting reports, how recruits get information, how practices get set up, set down, the amount of time that it takes, the amount of detail that it takes. And you really sort of opened your eyes, like you grew up loving and playing the sport and you realize for the first time you don't know anything about it. And so I knew that I wanted to coach. I actually went to school to started out to be a physical therapist. And I was like, no, that's just not what I want to do. I want to coach and I want to teach. And, so getting in to it that way was a big eye-opening experience, especially getting to see it at that level. And would love to have stayed on there. Program was doing pretty well, picking up and, really wanted to hang on, but you know, they didn't have the space or the money or anything like that. And I was getting married at 24 years old and I needed a job. And so I jumped into the high school ranks in Ruston as an assistant coach, did that for one season, and was extremely fortunate to get my first head coaching job later that year at 24 at Cedar Creek School in Ruston. It's a small private school there, and really took my lumps trying to figure the whole head coaching thing out. Did not have really any sort of mentorship, you know, outside of what I got at Tech. And what you learn as a GA at a D1 university, there's not a whole lot of that that really translates down to the high school level. You know, you have to actually go put the M&Ms out at the concession stand. You've got to call the officials and make sure they're going to be there. You've got to sweep the floor. You've got to change the lights. You know, the net rips, you're responsible for getting one. Just all of those things that you don't really realize are going to be on your plate. And then, oh, by the way, we have to actually coach basketball. And then, oh, by the way, there's this whole human component side of things that was getting sort of swept under the rug and was the last thing that we were really focusing on. And so I did that for 7 years. And this is where Asim and I's story really sort of parallel. I was brought in one day on a Monday after spring break at 1 o'clock and was told that they were making a change and they were going to go into a different direction. Didn't know why, didn't understand why. It was completely out of the blue. But was let go and then had to finish the year teaching at that school and sort of figuring things out. And obviously my dad told me when I got into coaching, he said, you know, there's two types of coaches, those that have been fired and those that will be. And, you know, he was right. And you sort of go through every emotion that you can possibly imagine. You know, you're mad, you're upset. I mean, that was my program. I was 24 when I got that job. Those kids were my kids. That program was my baby. I'd put every single thing I had to in it, and was confused. And I mean, I was sad. I cried. I was mad. I was all of those things. But you know, things happen, and they happen for a reason, I suppose. And I was very, very fortunate within our same parish. I jumped across town to Simsboro High School. Josh Brown recruited me to come over there, and it's an extremely well-known program in Louisiana, small class B. They don't have football. All they do is play basketball. And it was really sort of a dream scenario for me to get to go over there and coach with him and be a part of two back-to-back state championship teams and get to have my hand in that. And I felt like going from year one to year two that like I had sort of vindicated myself that like, yes, I know how to coach. It wasn't me. There's another story in there that maybe we can get to a little bit later, but you know, I had to sort of come back to my center and get back to this human component piece that Asim and I talk about all the time. And after going from being fired in the very next 2 years, winning back-to-back state championships and sort of well on our way to winning a third, we were sort of a shoe-in to win a third one. I actually walked away from coaching and made a really difficult decision last summer, or well, 2 summers ago now, to leave Simsboro. And as life gets even crazier, I went back to the school that had let me go to take a teaching job there. My little girl is 4 years old and she was going into pre-K, and you know, it was the best possible situation for her. And so I had a really difficult decision to make. But you know, it was for my daughter and for my family. And so it really wasn't that difficult of a decision. The conversation that I had to have with those guys was really difficult. And I knew kind of walking away from coaching sort of at that point, after going from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high and kind of feeling like, hey, I've got it figured out now. Having to walk away from that was obviously really tough. But again, that's where Asim really steps in and sort of has helped me through all of this. And that is kind of where Essential Coaching was really born. I mean, it really started 3 years ago when we first met, but, us working with each other, communicating and sort of recruiting and connecting with each other daily, that's the best professional development that either one of us has ever had. And so the real short version of that is just, you know, if it worked for us, maybe there's somebody out there that it could work for too, because we quickly realized that we're not the only two people out there with these sort of problems. And so that's kind of the long and short of it on how we get here tonight.
All right. So I want to kind of go backwards and ask both of you this question, and you can answer it in whatever way you see fit. But when I hear the stories of what you guys were going through and the different experiences that you had, and obviously they were varied experiences, both in terms of what you saw from the head coaches that you worked under, what you saw from the support of, or lack of support in some cases, of an administration. While you guys were going through that, did you take notes, whether that was mental notes, whether that was a file on the computer, whether that was a notebook, of things that you felt were working for you and your program, or your program that you were working for as a coach, or writing down things that maybe weren't working? Because obviously, as you said, you got to learn some of the transactional pieces of coaching. So how did you go about when you started, and we'll get to the point where essential coaching started, but I'm just thinking about how you start collecting your thoughts as a coach, irrespective of the idea that at some point you're going to start this thing, just for your own knowledge. How did you go about kind of putting together what your coaching philosophy was going to be? Did you do it in any kind of formal way?
Yeah, so I'll jump in. I think that, number one, that's a great question, because I think looking back, I probably could have done even more. But if you think about, like, the most organized person you know, that's like me times 10 when it comes to basketball stuff. But the rest of my life is like hyper unorganized. It's like an organized mess where, like, I know where things are, but in basketball ways, like, I was pretty meticulous. And this is one of those transactional things that I learned, was how to do it in a meticulous manner, and be detail oriented about all of this stuff. So, like, short answer to your question is, like, yes, I mean, for me personally, I had, I still have copious amounts of stuff, whether that's itineraries, whether that's how to order the gear. I mean, like, washing instructions for the practice gear to make it last longer, you know, things that you wouldn't really think of, but, like, I have a lot of that stuff. And then over the course of time, so probably like the last couple of years, especially when I was trying to get back into the college game, like we were moving up here, putting that together into a pretty extensive portfolio, where I can now have exemplars of, like, what exactly things would look like in a program that I'm a part of, or a program that I would run. You know, I have aspirations to be a D3 head coach. I'm just going to speak it into existence on your podcast.
And good work. I like it.
If and when that happens, y'all can have a royalty. So to be able to show, like, this is what I'm about, and you know exactly what you're going to get. But you can only really do that once you've gone through what we now call our ROCA pathway, you know, going through a tremendous amount of reflection and raising our own awareness to what we do and don't know, and gaining some clarity, and then having some alignment about what we want that to be about. But you only really get to do that through collecting some of those artifacts and really, like, diving into, like, what works for you and what doesn't.
Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, I would say if you want to see the notes, you just really need to go print off the last, you know, 3 years of a Seaman Mines text.
Absolutely. That's not a joke.
It's probably about 100 miles high, because I'd say we actually met through a Read and React webinar, you know, 3+ years ago, because we were, you know, falling in love with the Read and React, and we thought that was going to fix all of our problems. And, and it did help us with some things to a degree. And that's sort of how our relationship started. It's like most coaches, you know, we want to talk about the sexy stuff, the X's and the O's, the ATOs, the drills, the PDF that we're trying to get off of Twitter, and those kinds of things. And that's how we got together. But it really is sort of amazing, like, the stuff that we went through in similar, you know, relatively similar timelines. And we just started asking each other those reflective questions, you know, while I was doing this, and I thought it worked. And then Asim would be like, but did it, you know, and really kind of call you on it and be like, well, maybe some of it did, maybe not all of it did. You know, well, what were we doing in practice? Oh man, I can't believe I was doing, you know, this. And that's when we started learning a lot about, you know, being exposed to Chris Oliver and what he does with basketball immersion, and being able to sort of build a relationship with him and be mentored by him some recently. Like, a lot of credit goes to him on where a lot of our philosophy changed, just in how we teach the game. And the funny thing is, speaking for Asim here for just a second, we're both classroom teachers. And I think we're both really, really good classroom teachers. And we've been that way for a long time. But my problem was that I wasn't doing all the things that were successful for me in the classroom on the court. Like, I looked at those two jobs as they were two completely different jobs, and that can't be further from the truth. The learning is experience, and putting yourself out there to make mistakes and keep things random and force people to make decisions and get out of their comfort zone. All of that I was doing in the classroom with my kids and seeing tons of success. I wasn't doing the exact opposite of that in the gym with my kids. My practices were machines. I wanted you to walk in and be like, man, these guys are well oiled. They're an army. The ball rack is in the certain place where only it could be for this particular drill. And they go get water at certain times, and everything was so crisp and machine-like. And then we get into a game and it's, you know, it's anything but. And I had a really hard time sort of understanding. I mean, I was working so hard. I mean, I poured everything into what I had into that program, and I wasn't getting the results that I felt I deserved. And then again, you hear what I said there, what I deserved. It wasn't really what the kids or the, you know, the program deserved. And it really just took us getting to a place where we were willing to ask those sorts of questions, where you were probably going to be a little afraid of what the answer was going to be, where you had to kind of look in deep into your soul and be okay with what you found. And I don't know if I could, I know I couldn't have done that by myself. It only happened by developing that relationship with Asim. And again, it took us a while to sort of get to that place, because for the first probably 6 months that we were communicating and texting back and forth, you know, I'm recording every NBA Summer League game and I'm sending him clips of defensive rotations because I wanted to be, you know, good at that. And I love the offensive side of the ball. I was the offensive coordinator for us at Simsboro, and we led the state in points, and I was super proud of that. And I really thought that that was the reason for our success. And when really it wasn't. Again, I'm going to mention that human component again. It was us taking that reflective process and sort of putting that on paper, which now is sort of what we've, like Asim said, sort of rebranded in our own way through Essential Coaching. But that really was what we were doing over the last couple of years. And then me sort of taking a page out of Asim's playbook and putting that sort of holistic, extensive portfolio together, where I'm going to have my pillars of play, but I want to be able to show you clips where we can show all of our pillars of players showing up in any random clip that we've got, you know, in our film. And then whatever our core values are going to be, or whatever our program is going to be, can we see those things on film? And just being able to sort of see the game differently that way, and watch it and look at it differently, think it differently. That was really the huge change for me. And that would not have happened had I not been let go. And we were super talented at Simsboro. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the talent there was unreal, especially for the size school we were. But it was sort of this idea that, like, man, this is what special really looks like, when you can take really great kids that are super talented, but then we also take care of this other side that everybody sort of talks about and they want to be about it, but they don't really go down that road. You know, we did, and we got to experience something that was insanely special for 2 years there.
If you have an existing podcast or are looking to launch your own pod but aren't sure where to start, the team at My Podcast Manager can help. Our podcast team works behind the scenes so you can do what you do best. We'll help you launch your podcast, make it sound great, and free up your time for the more enjoyable parts of podcasting. If you're ready to put your podcast editing, production, and promotion on autopilot with a trusted team of podcasting professionals, visit mypodcastmanager.com to get started.
So Asim, when did you start to recognize the human element but in addition to the X's and O's side and the nitty gritty of basketball, which is probably where people first think about coaching? They think about good coaches are good X's and O coaches. They're not necessarily thinking about the relationship coach, although I think that probably is changing, certainly from where it was 15 or 20 years ago. So just what was your journey to coming to that understanding that there was more to coaching than just what you could diagram on a board?
Right. Yeah. When I realized I wasn't very good at diagramming this stuff on the
better find something else. Right.
Like, that's probably the easy answer. I mean, like, what kids responded to. And so for me, again, like, not having played at whatever level qualifies you to be a good coach, which, again, we know that that's not a thing, but that is a thing. You know, whenever I drew up, or like whatever books I was reading that had X's and O's in them, I mean, I remember, like, I just gave it away to Goodwill the other day. It was like John Wooden's UCLA offense book that I got when I was in college. And like, I thought that was the greatest thing ever, but I'm looking at it now, I'm like, this is not going to work now. You know, like, why was I doing that? And so I think, like, very early on for me, it was, I'm going to have to use my relentless enthusiasm and my personality to connect with these kids, because I am suffering from imposter syndrome right now, because I don't know enough in terms of, or what I thought at the time was enough, to get by with X's and O's and stuff. So we're going to have to try something different. And then that's where I sort of fell in love with the Read and React. And I was like, hey, man, this is going to save my career because this is teachable. And then from there, it sort of exploded for me, like, you know, the stuff with Chris Oliver, and then being able to put together my own stuff, and then like going through that learning process. But over the course of time, our problems that I, whatever problems we faced as a program or I faced as a coach, like 1% had to do with X's and O's, and 99% had to do with human stuff. And so, you know, drawing on my background in adult and higher education and intercollegiate athletic administration and, you know, sport management and marketing and all of these things, like all of the transactional stuff that we could do, that's great. But at the end of the day, you still have a group of 15 kids in front of you that need your attention. And I, again, like, I made our, my program, I shouldn't say my program, but whatever program that I've been the head coach for, whether it's that freshman head coaching job in Oklahoma or being a head coach for 4 years or, you know, youth clubs, whatever, it's always has been sort of the party line was like character first. But I really didn't know what that meant until starting to work with Lead 'Em Up and starting to really dive into like why this matters. And sort of redefining character is the repeatability of good habits. And once we got to that point, the human component started becoming the most important thing. And that's not to say like X's and O's don't matter, but if you don't have the human component as your foundation, then your X's and O's are irrelevant because it's not about what you can draw up. It's about what you can get them to do. And so, like, I think Jeff Van Gundy says that, and you see like Twitter accounts are will post that once a month. But then, you know, coaches are going out and they're going to DM for a playbook, and there's like 3,000, you know, requests for a playbook on Twitter. And it's like, you just retweeted that, yet you want this playbook. So like, where's the misalignment? And so for me, like X's and O's wise, I like it. I'll study it. But I like, it does not hold my attention as much as, hey, how can I connect with this kid? How can we help people connect, regardless of whether it's coach and player? Like today is Wednesday the 9th. I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but just today was our first two sessions with Brandeis Athletics, where, you know, myself as part of Essential Coaching, we're doing a complete department diversity, equity, and anti-racism and inclusion group work sessions that I'm facilitating. And so our entire concept here is about connecting as people first, because you can't even begin to try to solve those problems that are so systemic and so structural and so big unless you are connected at a very basic level. And so like that has now permeated everything that I do. And it always, not always, but for the better part of my like coaching life, especially as a head coach in high school and now as a college coach, and really the last, you know, 6-8 years, it has been everything. And now we've just put a name on it at Essential Coaching.
And I think that what it's important to keep in mind here is, and it's a theme that we've heard from lots of different coaches, is that ultimately you have to remember that you're coaching the person and not the sport. And so you have to coach the person first. And then number two, I think ultimately that it's really, really important for coaches to keep in mind what the end game is of what we're all doing. And that isn't to say that winning and losing isn't important. That isn't to say that being competitive isn't important, because we all know as coaches, those things are important to us. But yet ultimately, when you think about what you remember about certain teams or certain players, and then what your players remember about you and being a part of your program, is ultimately, what did that program do for me as a human being, as an individual? Did it put me on a pathway to success? Did it help me to build relationships with my coaches and my teammates? Can I look back 20 years after I graduate and say, I've got 4, 5, 6 really good friends, people that I'm constantly in touch with? Did it help me to be a better husband, a better wife, a better brother, a better sister? And I think sometimes in the heat of the moment, when we're in our season, it gets really, really easy to get caught up in how important that next game is and that next win is. And I think that what you guys are trying to do by bringing this human element into it is really making sure that you keep coaches intentional about what their purpose is. So I wanted to ask you, when you guys came together, had you guys both already been involved with Lead 'Em Up, or was that something that happened after you guys started your text chain? Just how did that come to be that you guys were both doing that? Did you come to it together or separately?
So I think that's part of the funny or amazing part of the story. That I think, Asim, you were like one of the first school in Virginia to use Lead 'Em Up.
I
believe I was the first one in Louisiana, unless somebody out there can correct me. But starting from, 5 years ago, Lead 'Em Up just had their 5th anniversary, and that's when I started using it. Just sort of stumbled upon it. I don't even remember exactly where, probably a PGC clinic, if I had to guess, going to a PGC Glazier clinic, and saw it and was like, man, like, this looks like some of the stuff that I know I talk about it. I can say these things to get a job, but am I doing these things to keep the job? And I don't think I was ever a terrible, maniacal, coach to play for. I mean, I loved and cared about my kids, but if it was sort of one of those things that, like, if we're going to talk about it, then let's be about it. And Lead 'Em Up was sort of the vehicle in which that got going. And so when Asim and I are texting one of those days 3 years ago, we find out that we're both using Lead 'Em Up. And so that became just a regular part of our conversation. And after I had made that decision to leave Simsboro and sort of step away from coaching, I just sent Asim, and actually hooked me up with Adam Bradley, because he heard about our tournament run. And we did this really cool thing with some towels and the themes. And that's a cool story for off air probably. But anyway, he sort of hooked us up. And so Adam and I had spoke before our second title game. And I just texted Adam and wanted to thank him for everything he had done for me. I mean, he didn't know me, but I was very thankful and grateful for his influence on me those last 3 or 4 years using Lead 'Em Up, and what a big part of our success at Simsboro that was. And just wanted to let him know that I appreciated him, but that I was stepping away and wasn't going to be coaching. And Adam happened to reach out, and he was like, look, there's opportunity here. Are you interested in working with us as a regional coach? And of course I was like, absolutely. This would be a phenomenal opportunity. And that was on like a Friday, and on Monday I'm flying to Maryland. So it was kind of this crazy turnaround. But like on that Saturday, I'm texting Asim like, yo, you won't ever believe like what just happened. Like, I'm actually going to be flying to Maryland to go meet Adam to be a regional coach. And he was like, hold up. I'm going to be there too. And Asim and I had never met each other in person. And it just happened to be that, like, independently, I suppose, Adam had reached out to both of us to work with Lead 'Em Up. And so we actually got to meet for the first time the only time that we've actually been in the same room together. And we got to spend a couple of days, and that was just, again, just makes a little bit of a crazy story a little bit crazier. And so Asim and I have both been working with Lead 'Em Up and Adam and his team the last, right at about a year now, as regional coaches. And that process right there has been sort of eye-opening and life-changing in a number of ways. And there's a very natural fit there with Lead 'Em Up being so player-driven and player-centered, and us trying to get to the players through the coach, that it's just one of those things like, man, it all sort of collided at the right time in the right way. And I don't know if it would ever happen again in another universe, but it did here. And we're very thankful and fortunate and lucky to be able to say that we're not only that Asim and I are part of each other's family now and through Essential Coaching, but that we're a part of the Lead 'Em Up family as well. And that's been a really, really cool process to be a part of.
Asim, how'd you come to Lead 'Em Up?
Yeah, so similarly, I think it was that August when I had first gotten the job at W.T. Woodson. That was like August. I got the job in April, and then there was a PGC Glacier Clinic in August, I think. And Adam, being a Maryland guy, like he's from Montgomery County, Maryland, which is right over the border from Fairfax County, Virginia, where I was coaching. And he was presenting at that clinic, and I just happened to like go up to him afterwards because I had been listening to the Hardwood Hustle forever. And I was like, hey, you're Adam Bradley. Like, this is super cool. You're right here in the flesh.
Exactly.
And and we ended up working out a deal somehow, some way that he was going to come to Woodson and kick off our first ever Lead 'Em Up session on my first ever Saturday after teams were made as a head coach. Like, very, very high pressure situation for me. And he was like, cool as a cucumber. He's like, yeah, cool. I'll do it. No problem. But you got to call me. I remember him saying that. He's like, you got to remind me. And I was like, you know, I'm going to remind you. I just put six reminders in my phone. and yeah, just from there, it sort of blossomed. And I think, again, we were the first school in Virginia to even jump on that bandwagon. And what's really ironic is the school that I ended up taking over for that season after I was let go, they jumped in to Lead 'Em Up a year after we did because they saw the effect it had on the program. And I was very good friends with the head coach at the time, who I ended up replacing when he stepped away. You know, and their kids were used to it. And that was part of the interview process. Like, I was able to interview using Lead 'Em Up. I was like, listen, we're going to continue this great work that, you know, Patrick did here with Lead 'Em Up. And like, Nate's going to stay on staff and he's going to run it. And yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where, like, you know, Adam asked me about Kyle. And I was like, dude, that's my dude. You know, but I didn't know why he was asking me. He just asked me, like, do you know Kyle? And I was like, yeah, that's my guy. Like, he's awesome. And then lo and behold, Kyle told that story already. Like, we're sitting at Rehab to Perform out in the middle of nowhere, Maryland. Like, hey, we're going to do Lead 'Em Up training. Oh, wait, there's Kyle walking through the door, you know? And it was 3 days, Kyle? Two mm-hmm. days?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just really, really cool experience. But we're eternally grateful to Adam for his mentorship, his guidance, not just with Lead 'Em Up, but also with Essential Coaching. Like, he sees what we're trying to do and he doesn't see it as a threat. He sees it as an opportunity, which I think speaks to his true nature as this servant leader type, where he just, you know, the question that he asked himself was like, and so what if Essential Coaching gets big? Well, that's great for Lead 'Em Up. So I'm all in to help you because I know it's going to help Lead 'Em Up, but I also believe in you guys. And you can do both and be really good at it.
I think that's really cool. It's funny that you guys have the connection to the Hardwood Hustle, because I'm going to give you my connection to the show. And I'm connected with Alan more than I am with Adam. And again, it was sort of happenstance, but I want to tell the story because it sort of relates to, again, just kind of what you guys went through and then sort of how we've gotten the podcast started. So back, I don't know, this is probably in 2016, I started writing just a basketball blog, mostly youth basketball issues, things that parents might face, tips for players, that kind of thing. And so I wanted to get somebody to write a guest post. I looked around for people who had a big presence on the internet in the basketball space. And I'd been listening to the Hardwood Hustle. And I could still remember at that time, my son was now in ninth grade. We were just kind of getting started with playing some AAU basketball. He was in, you know, maybe third or fourth grade. And we would drive to these tournaments and we'd have the Hardwood Hustle on and we'd be listening to it. And, you know, I'd say, yeah, this is Adam Bradley and Alan Stein. And so, you know, he would kind of, you know, you kind of feel like when you listen to a podcast, you get to know the person because they're talking about themselves and you hear them every week or, you know, every 2 weeks or whatever, whenever you listen. And so Alan was one of the people that I reached out to. And I think I wrote to maybe 25 people and I heard back from about five. and four said they would do it. And Alan said, well, I appreciate you reaching out to me, but I think I'm going to pass. And that was right about the time that he was transitioning into going into corporate speaking and kind of stepping away a little bit from basketball. And at that time I had a friend and acquaintance that I knew who was starting a company that was putting together these retreats, for lack of a better way of saying it, centered around excellence, but they were designed for CEOs and business leaders and that kind of thing. And I said, well, let me introduce Alan to my friend because it might be right up his alley. And so I introduced Alan to my friend. And then as a result of that, you know, not thinking anything of it, just putting two and two together. And then through that, Alan ended up coming to an event that I was at. He and I got to meet. He ended up being the very first interview on this show. And henceforth, he and I have gotten to be friends over the last couple of years. And our podcast would be nowhere near what it is today if it wasn't for Alan being so willing to open up his network of people to us. And then consequently, that has expanded who we've been able to have on the show and all those things. So it's just funny how, again, when you said, Asim, that, you know, there's Adam, he's standing right in front of me, because you had listened to the show for so long and you kind of felt like you knew him and he didn't necessarily know you when you guys first met. And I felt the same way with Adam. Like, man, I really know this guy, but he's never met me before. So it's just kind of interesting how life goes full circle. And it also speaks to just, I think, it's another example of the human element where here's two guys, Adam and Alan, that have had a successful, you know, they had a successful partnership and a podcast that really was going well, and they each had their own successes. And then they helped me and they help you guys. And mm-hmm. with no expectation of getting anything in return, just being willing to help and being good guys that they are. So it's just funny how life, you know, how life sometimes takes that turn. So how do you guys go from, you're going to do your separate lead 'em up thing. You guys have obviously made a connection personally and professionally. When do you start thinking about, hey, there's something that maybe we can do together to have an even greater impact? When does the idea for essential coaching, how does that idea bubble to the top of your relationship?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's like 2 years ago, 3 years mm-hmm. ago, when one day, like we're, again, I kid you not, I mean, you could look back in all of our mountains of messages and just talking to each other, like we would legitimately say even 3 years ago, like, man, we should really start a company. Like, this is good stuff. And then we just, you know, we never had time to do it. And ultimately now, over the last 6 months, I mean, with a pandemic that is still raging on, people were in their houses and, you know, we had an opportunity to present on that virtual coaches clinic summit deal. Yeah, that
absolutely
kind of took the basketball world by storm. And you know, the more we thought about it, it was like, hey, if we can put together these clinics and we've benefited from the interactions that we have, and really, like, we dove into, hey, what can we call this? How can we brand this? And the word essential just kept coming up. So we decided for, you know, I don't know, Kyle, if you want to correct me if I'm wrong here, but almost for a lack of creativity, because we just kept using that word so much. It was like, you know, let's just call it essential coaching. And so we piloted, just reached out to anybody who reached out to us after our virtual coaches clinics. It's like 30 people, and all of them were like, yeah, let's do it. We're in. And we really just took the approach of, like, this worked for us. We tried it with another buddy that Kyle was a friend of Kyle's, and we were on a group chat together. And you know, Ryan Smith, the owner and the creator of hashtag OneCount, the shooting guy. So if you see that hashtag OneCount, that's Ryan Smith. He made that up. He's a great resource for anybody. You know, we were going through the same process with him, and we were like, this, we got something here. Let's go for it. And especially during the pandemic, like, you know, people didn't know whether they're going to have seasons or not. They're looking for any opportunity to grow. They're looking for any opportunity to learn. And for us, it was like, hey, if not now, then when? And so, yeah, we put together some graphics and put together some branding, and we're like, hey, we're going to do this thing. And then, you know, about 3 weeks into owning the website and it not being created. And Kyle, I'll let you kind of wrap that up too, that story there. I'm not sure I slept for like 3 weeks trying to build a website from scratch. But like we did it, you know, and it's sort of like you do by trial and error and you figure it out. And like when your links actually work and you can process a payment through your website, that's like cause for celebration.
That's good stuff right there. Trust me. You know, I've been there.
You know, but Kyle, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I think it's no different than the way we would want to sort of implement, you know, a new offense, right? Or teach a new concept in class. You know, the best way to do it is to get out there and do it. Learning is experience. You know, that's one of my favorite quotes by Albert Einstein. And that was sort of it. Like, hey, let's think about this. What do you think about this? Let's kick it around. Let's shoot it to Ryan in a text. You know, let me ask my wife, you know, do you like this? And she, you know, she's a font snob. So she was always hammering me for like what it actually looked like and stuff. And it's actually kind of funny to go back and look at like some of the first logos and graphics and stuff we made. They're absolutely terrible. And again, just like kind of, I mean, COVID with the assist, in all honesty. When have you ever had 3 weeks where you could sit in front of a computer and stay up till 3 a.m. and just mindlessly work on a website and think about this nonstop?
Or a podcast, right, Mike?
Yeah, or a podcast. I'm right there with you at 3 a.m. Don't be surprised. You start getting those emails.
You got me again. You got me in again. Look at this.
Now that you guys are in the Hoopheads family, you'll be seeing those 3 a.m. emails coming out from me. Yeah, so I can relate.
It's crazy because we'll start something and be like, okay, man, I'm kind of tired. It seems on the East Coast, some central time. It's like 10 o'clock my time, 11 o'clock his time. Okay, yeah. Well, let's get to this tomorrow. And then at 1:30 my time, it's like, oh, well, we were supposed to go to bed, you know, 2.5 hours ago and get it this early in the morning. And it was like, oh, well, the copy on the website's not quite right. Let's tweak that. I was going to try to see if this email worked. Let's try that. And it really was like every little bitty milestone, just like buying the domain name, you know, and getting that receipt, like that was a win. You know, signing up for TurboTax, that was a win. You know, creating the official logo, that was a win. Getting that first test email to go through, that was a win. And we've just sort of been able to experience all of those things. And outside of the win, and the wins were so special because there were so many losses before them, right? You know, you screw it up and you can't quite get it right. We can't get the graphic on the website just right and all those little bitty things. And which is funny because that takes us back to sort of the transactional piece, right? But the reason that we wanted to do all of that is because we would get on these calls and we started having like, I think we started with like 6 sessions a week. Again, we had plenty of nothing but time. And we were meeting with 6 separate small group cohorts that only have about 4 or 5 coaches in there. Plus we were doing big group webinars and so on and so forth. And we wanted to do those things. Yeah, one-on-one. We wanted to do those things because every single time we got on a call, somebody was having a breakthrough. Somebody was taking a step forward in their professional and personal life. And that was the best win that we could possibly have. And we're in, I think this is week 20 with that original group. And these coaches keep coming back, you know, and we haven't talked a lick of X's and O's, and we're barely getting into like practice environment because there's so much to that foundational piece, and there is so much almost unlearning that has to go on so we can get to the real learning and get to the real growth and progress. And like I said, it's just a process that Asim and I went through together for 3 years, and we were like, look, maybe we can help some coaches speed this up a little bit. And we've got coaches that have been coaching for 20 plus years, you know, on the college level. We've got coaches that are in the youth level. We've got coaches that are 24. We got coaches that are in their 50s. We've got everything in between, basketball, football, track, softball, swim and dive. Like it's all over the place. And we all are in different places sort of dealing with different things, but then we're not. Like they're all the same problems, but all of our contexts and our, as we would like to say, our ground zeros are different. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to how well have you recruited the people around you and connected with them and built that relationship. And Again, it doesn't matter what we're running or how great of a drill or small-sided game or whatever we've got set up. I mean, all the best talent in the world, if we can't recruit those people, you know, get their hearts and minds into it and actually get them to do what we need them to do and do it together, then we're going to, you know, we're not going to, I don't want to say we're going to fail, but we're not going to reach our fullest potential, which to me is what that ultimate success really is.
All right. I want to jump into that piece of it in just a second where we talk about some of the nitty gritty of what you're actually getting into with the coaches. But I'm always fascinated by just the business development / entrepreneurial side of things like this. So when you guys started putting this together, you obviously don't go into it with the idea of, hey, I love business and I want to learn how to build a website and I want to figure out how to get the graphic design to look good and I want to make sure that I can take payments and all the things that you talked about. That's not really why you wanted to start this business. So I'm always curious when I hear people talk about getting these things started. How did you guys take to that? In other words, did you enjoy that process of going through and putting this all together? Or did you look at it more of something that you had to kind of get through to get where you wanted to go? Or was it a little combination of both, depending on what time of night I talked to you?
So for me, like my day job, I'm a business teacher. So like I teach this stuff for a living. And so for me, it was like, hey, now I actually get to do this. And all the things that I've like told my students or all the things that we've discovered is like, okay, now I get to discover this for myself in something that means a whole hell of a lot to me. And so for me, like, yeah, like, was it frustrating when links wouldn't work or like things weren't positioned right on the site or like Squarespace was not working properly? Yes, that was super frustrating. But big picture, it was a tremendous amount of fun. And it still is. I mean, every day it's like something new. You know, Kyle will text me, he's like, hey, have you heard of this? Nope. All right, let's try it. You know, or like, hey, what about this? Great, let's do it. You know, and so I think that there's a lot out there for entrepreneurs and people who want to get into it. And like, there's so many services that make it really easy. But it's probably one of the most fulfilling things, at least in my life, to be able to put something together from scratch and have it be the quality that we want it to be. And I think that that's something that I think, Kyle, you'd probably agree with that, is that we're not going to do something just to get it out there. Like if we're going to do it, we're going to do it well. And that is sort of something that we have talked about a lot, but it's also something that just aligns with our personalities and who we are. Like we're not going to go out and just put together some crappy website just to say we have one. It's going to be feature rich. It's going to be all inclusive of everything that we have going on because that's who we are. We want to be transparent. We want to be aligned with who we say we are. And so, you know, long answer to a short question, like for me, it was a blast and it continues to be a blast to try to develop this. Because again, we really only have been launched. The website went up just like a month and a half ago, two months ago, something like that. Yeah, so it's still pretty much in its infancy as far as that like official side goes. But we've been doing this and we have that proof of concept since like the last week of March, first week of April. So I mean, that's almost been, 5.5 months.
Yeah, I would say for me, so my grad degree, when I was lucky enough, like I said, to get that GA spot, I ended up getting a master's in industrial organizational psychology. So it was a lot of business psych. And, you know, I would take classes like training and development, organizational change, leadership and development. One of my textbooks was Flawless Consulting from Peter Block. So I've always sort of had a desire to lean into that sort of space, I guess you'd say. But I'm a biology teacher by trade. And what's been really fun is sort of taking like the science, that scientific method way of thinking and applying a lot of those same concepts to the business or to some of the content that we use. So like some of our analogies and stuff are based on, you know, scientific principles, if you will. And sort of the research and development side of all of this, you know, to be able to say that what we do is backed by research and backed by science. It's not I mean, Asim and I are just two guys. I mean, we're two, you know, we like to joke, you know, he got cut from every team he ever played and I was in the band, you know, so we're just a couple of guys, you know, trying to talk about coaching and what we've learned along the way. But, you know, I do think that our unique backgrounds end up playing in our favor. And this, my sort of joke when I got to do that summit clinic was I was the least famous person on the thing, but I think that made me the most relatable person on there. And I think that's what resonated with a lot of the coaches that reached out, is because they don't have 6'10", five-star players trying to run this lob, you know, that they were getting from some of the other, you know, resources. And so that resonated with them. So taking that side of it, like something that we really wanted to do. And then I think for me, not to speak for Asim, but after trying to work for someone else and it not work out, the idea that I can do this for myself and that if I want to change something on the website, I can, you know, like it's
100%.
Absolutely.
Like it's our baby. So, and sometimes I'll text him and I'll be like, you know, I'm thinking about this. Like, I don't know if this would be a really good idea. Like, you think we should? He was like, why not? Like, we own it. Why can't we do that? You know, we're working on a project right now that we haven't really talked about yet, but we're really excited about it. And it's like, why not do that? Like, yeah, it's going to be take a lot of time. It may take 3 months before anybody ever hears about it because it's going to take a lot of work. But I know that I'm doing what I want to do and I'm working on that. I'm not beholden to anybody else's, you know, objective list or time slots or schedules or anything like that. I come home and I answer to my wife and my daughter and then Asim, you know, and as far as essential coaching goes. And to me, that is like the most rewarding, empowering, fulfilling thing, is knowing that like I'm doing what I truly want to do. So I'm not getting to coach anymore. This is my program. Like, this is my baby now. And so if I got to wake up at 2 a.m. to feed it, that is what it is, because I love it unconditionally. So, you know, and thank goodness again for Asim to figure out some of the techie side of that. You know, I could get online and try something and have an idea and kind of break it, and then he would come in and kind of fix it. and that's kind of a way a lot of this stuff goes, is I'll kind of throw the spaghetti up against the wall because I have just some sort of random idea that hasn't really been molded yet. And then he takes it and he cleans it up, and then we spitball it, and then we throw it out to our coaches, and what comes out the other end is some really, really, really great stuff.
Yeah. I think what you hit on there, Kyle, is something that I can 100% relate to in terms of the ability to work for yourself. I know that I can have times where I'll have to do something for someone else or for my school, and they want me to do this email or do this one thing, and it's going to take like 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, do I really have to do that now? And then I'll spend like 6 hours editing a podcast and making sure that I get the little graphics exactly right, and that I've got the right sound clip, and that, you know, there isn't any clicks and buzzes in the background, and I don't think anything of that. And so it's totally relatable to me. And I think to anybody who's in the entrepreneurial space, I think they relate to that idea that when you are in control of it and you're doing it for yourself, that you become even that much more invested in it. And you can even take that a step further and say, man, how can we inspire that in our athletes that we coach, right? It's the same thing. We want them to be that bought in that they'll do whatever it takes to support our team, to support their teammates, to support their fellow coaches, however you want to look at their particular role. And so that completely rings true to me without question. So I can see where building this thing out from nothing, you know, you go back to March 1st and this didn't even exist, except maybe in your mind's eye. And now you can go and you have a website and you have a home, and there's all these things that you can show people. And when they ask you questions, hey, what are you guys doing? Instead of it just being like, well, we got some text messages here on the phone. Instead, you actually have a place where people can go and they can see all the great things that you guys have and that you're offering. So let's start to talk about some of those things that Essential Coaching offers to the coaching profession. Just give us an idea of, you already mentioned the coaching cohorts and having those talks and meeting with coaches and trying to help them to maximize and be their best self. Maybe talk a little bit about one or two things that you try to bring out, key points that you want coaches to think about when you meet with them in those meetings? And obviously, again, when we're talking about multiple sports and we're talking about specific instances, it's hard to break it down that far, but maybe just some overriding themes that you try to get coaches to think about when they come and engage with you.
Yeah, so I think one of the first things that we have to mention is that right now is actually open enrollment for new cohorts. And so that started back on September 1st, and it's rolling through the end of September for the goal of starting our new cohorts October 1.
Okay.
And so really our community model is what we call it. So we have our preferred community and then our premium community. Preferred community is those group cohorts. You get access to a virtual coaches community through Slack. You get webinars, you get access to the website, any of the resources, but really it's those group calls where one of our members, his name is Bubba, he's down in Louisiana with Kyle, he calls it collective IQ. And so the development of that collective IQ around coaching and around teaching and around why we do what we do. And then the premium community is all of that, but you also get one-on-one calls, or really two-on-one calls with myself and Kyle. And that's for coaches that really want to dive deep. And then we'll do some things like staff upgrades and things like that if you want to bring your whole staff on. And
lead them up access, you know, create, as well.
Right. And you get free lead them up access with any of the memberships. And so those are sort of the community things we offer. And then we have, I believe it's on the website, it's 12 a la carte options. So if you just want like a one-off session, we can help you with interview prep. We can help you with those portfolios that we talked about. Anti-racism training, that's what I'm doing up at Brandeis right now. Doing any sort of administrative alignment, any sort of coaching staff alignment, coaching retreats, player meetings, parent meetings, all of that stuff. And really the quintessential questions that we ask are very reflective in nature. And so one of the things that we start with is what we call external formulas. And it's somebody else's belief about what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it. So like an example of an external formula in life would be like when you're supposed to get married, or when you're supposed to have kids, or when you are supposed to have bought a house and what that house is supposed to look like. And so going back to the question you asked before about X's and O's versus the human component and one outweighing the other, it's an external formula that the best coaches are the ones that can draw those things up on the board. And all of a sudden, they're this genius coach. Right, we laud those coaches, and so young coaches, old coaches alike, get stuck in that trap of believing that that has to be them. And so, really, when we think about coach development, the external formula is: hey, go to this Nike clinic, go to this clinic. Well, listen, we've all done it. Like I went to plenty of Nike clinics. I didn't learn a dang thing at those Nike clinics. They didn't help me at all because it was all about X's and O's. It's all about like, here's what I do with my 6'10 center. Great. I don't have one of those. I coach high school girls. My tallest player is 5'11. You know, like that's not going to help me. But really kind of diving deep into what our external formulas are and then using that to strengthen our inner coaching voice, which then leads to, you know, your core values, your vision, your mission, and then eventually how you get to your standards for your program. And how you build those things with your players in mind, giving them the ownership that they deserve. Because ultimately, it's not our experience as coaches, it's their experience as players. And you said it yourself, like we want them to look back fondly on that experience, but not as a memory, but as something that they were actively involved in. And so reframing the coaching development conversation, we like to say that we disrupt that coaching development conversation through that reflective process that raises awareness, gets us to some clarity, but then gets us to alignment between what we say we're about that gets us sort of in the door for that job and what we're actually about that helps us keep that job, and that those things are aligned. Because I think every coach would say, like, you know, most coaches would be like, yeah, it's about relationships. Oh, the X's and O's can wait. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. Well, that's true. So let's do that and coach our programs that way. And we can still win. It's not an if and, or it's not an if but. Like, but I can't do that because I need to win. No, you can win. And Kyle and I have shown that through our experience, and that you actually get more fulfillment out of it. So again, long answer to a short question, we go through those processes, but in those small groups that we keep intentionally small, so that you really can develop a relationship with the people in your group, and then you can talk about it, and it becomes this beautiful sort of symphony of sharing coaching thoughts, of sharing pain points, of really addressing those pain points, and then each of us is there to support the other one. So we create our own little teams, but then in the larger virtual community via Slack, everybody's in there just throwing out ideas. We have like probably 10 different channels that people can be on at any different time, you know, sharing X's and O's, sharing teaching tips, sharing articles, sharing social media things, you know, all kinds of different stuff. So what we're really trying to do, in essence, and this is our vision and our mission, is to create exponential generational change by creating the deepest connected coaching community in the world.
So what I hear, and this is something that I think is, and you mentioned it there when you said that, you know, coaches are a lot of times will say, yeah, I'm all about this. I'm all about the relationships. That's the most important piece of it. But when push comes to shove in the middle of their season, sometimes it gets difficult to continue to focus on those relationship piece of it, because you get caught up in, what do I need to do to win this next game? How much film do I have to watch? What adjustments do I have to make? And all those kinds of things. And I know, and I'm speaking for myself here, and I was an assistant high school coach. I've never been a high school coach, head coach at the high school level. And so I've spent a lot of time coaching my own kids. And so a lot of my references that I make to my own coaching are through coaching my own kids. And I know that one of my weaknesses as a coach is I will get very excited about a particular thing that I read about, that I saw, that I think will have an impact. And mostly I tend to go towards the idea of the human things as opposed to the X's and O's. I don't get nearly as excited about seeing some great out of bounds play that I watched in an NBA game. That doesn't necessarily excite me. What I do get excited about is a team building activity that I'll read about, or something that, boy, that's really a great statement that I can use with my team to help to implement something that I really want to implement. And what I find my weakness to be is that I'll get excited by this thing for a week or 2 weeks, and I'll really be gung-ho about it. And then it will kind of slowly fade away. And then I'll notice the next thing and I'll be all excited about that. And what I find for me, at least, is that I have to be very, very intentional about what it is that I'm trying to accomplish on both that human element and that relationship element every single day when I show up for a practice or a game. Because if I don't, it's easy for me to forget, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be looking for these things so that I can praise them so we can continue to get more of them. So how much time do you guys spend with coaches just talking about making sure that these things that we say are important stay at the forefront of our mind and don't get pushed down in favor of the X's and O's and getting caught up in the wins and losses during a season?
Right. So one of the things that I have written on my board in my classroom is a daily agenda for us, is it says, find your seat, relax, connect. And oftentimes that's how we start our sessions with our coaches. You know, sign on, take your seat, let's relax and let's connect and let's find out where you are. Let's find about, you know, about the wins or the losses that you might have had from the last time that we got together. And it's about going through the human component wheel with our coaches too, which begins with that next connection. And we say that all the time, like, what was the next connection, or when is the next connection going to be? And we do that by having those weekly moments with them, but then we stay together in that Slack community and we have text chains and, or one-on-one calls or things that are outside of our cohort calls, where that really is how we begin every single conversation that we're going to have. So even if you want to talk about something that's X's and O's, Y's, perhaps it's going to be, okay, well, how is that going to impact the people that are running it? And how is that going to fit in with the overall, you know, vision or mission or philosophy or system that you've sort of got in place? And so that just that simple idea of like find your seat, relax, and connect really sort of drives home how we get to those moments. And sometimes that moment might happen really quickly and sometimes it might not. We've actually had a couple of really good wins this week with two of our coaches, with some of their players, and they have figured out, they sort of came to this realization where they're like, oh, the stuff you do with us, we didn't even really realize it, but we started doing it with our players. And instead of us telling them answers, instead of us just taking the conversation where we wanted to go with it, we started asking the questions. And we started getting to where they were and what they actually needed. And we realized, like, hey, we're going through that rock of pathway with our players. And that's the first big breakthrough that we've ever had with this particular kid. And that really is like why we exist. Like, that is what this is all about. Because we like to say that coaching is very lonely. The weight of coaching is very heavy. And as you're saying, like, being intentional about it for that week or two, and then it sort of floats away. Well, we're not going to let that happen, because we're going to insulate you and build that support system around you. And not just with Asim and myself, but that essential coaching community, the deepest connected coaching community in the world. And that sounds super lofty, again, for the guy that was cut from the freshman team and the dude that played drums. But that really is what we mean. And it's not the most famous coaching community. It's not the most well-connected community, but it is the deepest connected community. And we've had coaches that go on vacation and still sign in calls. We had a coach that had a baby, and 2 days later, he hopped on the call just to let us know how things were going.
And apologize for being late.
For being late, funny.
With a baby.
That's funny.
And that's really that's how we know that what we're doing is working and that we're doing good work. When we sort of see those things, and one of my favorite channel in the Slack community is what we call our hashtag feel good channel, where coaches just put those wins out there. You know, they'll say, hey, I did something on a Zoom call and my principal, I didn't know my principal was listening, but they were, and they heard something they liked. And now my school's going to be instituting something next week that we're going to do weekly. And it was based off of my inspiration. And we want to celebrate that with you. So that neat little idea that we had, or something that we heard on an amazing Hoopshead podcast, or we saw in a clinic, or we read in an article that sort of lights that fire in us for a week or two, we're going to make sure that keeps burning. Because that really is, like I said, that's why we exist. So if there is something that is driving you or something you're working towards, you're being propped up and supported by an entire community that is worldwide, not just within the country, but worldwide. And being able to bounce ideas off of somebody that is literally, 7 or 8 hours away from you. And it's really cool to sort of send them a message knowing that they're asleep and they're going to see it when they wake up, and then kind of vice versa, that we're literally trying to play catch up with people with these messages. Having that system in place to pick you up and empower you is really what we're all about. And I remember back to some of our first conversations about what kind of direction and philosophy and how we sort of wanted to brand and speak on these things. It was really a message of hope. Coaching feels so lonely and hopeless a lot of times, that we want to come from this angle that you've already got what you need in the room to be successful. We just might need to disrupt and sort of rebrand or rethink the way we're doing things. And you can be a lot more successful perhaps than maybe you've been or you feel you should be. And we're going to have that system of support in place to help you get there.
I think what you guys are seeing is something that I look at it from a teaching perspective, but also I think about it from a coaching perspective as well. And so from a teaching perspective, the way I look at this and what I hear you guys saying is that sometimes when you're teaching and you close your door and you have a really rough day and things don't go the way that you want them to go, and then you go home and you kind of feel like, oh, I'm all alone. Like my day was such a challenge and I couldn't get the students to do X, Y, or Z, or this kid was really, giving me a hard time, or boy, I just couldn't quite figure out how to get this concept across to the kids. And there's a lot of teachers that I think feel that. And then you go and you get an opportunity to maybe have some professional development, or you go and you have a staff meeting, or you just sit down and you have lunch with another teacher or another group of teachers. And you come to realize that you're not alone, that everybody faces
right.
some of these challenges. And in a lot of ways, it makes you feel better. It sort of lifts that weight off of you that, hey, I don't have to, I'm not going at this alone. There's other people that are experiencing these same challenges. And when you start to talk to them about those challenges, then you can start to figure out solutions. And I think the same thing when you think about it in coaching, you look at it maybe a little differently, but it ends up being the same sort of thing in that there's probably not too many things that are brand new problems that no coach out there somewhere has ever faced. I doubt there are too many new things that are surfacing that a coach says, never had to deal with this ever before. It's the first time this problem's ever happened in the history of sports. I doubt that happens very often. So when you can create a community where you can connect with people that have a variety of experiences, chances are you can find somebody who's successfully navigated the issue that you're dealing with. And too often, I think as coaches, we end up trapped inside our own head and we try to figure it out ourselves. And then we do feel that weight. We do feel that pressure. We do feel almost trapped that, what can I do? I can't figure out what to do. And I can see tremendously the value that a community like what you guys are building can have for a coach. So just maybe talk about an experience you've had with somebody who's come in with an issue that maybe it's not even you guys that have directly given them an answer to or a solution for, but maybe somebody within the community has helped them.
Yeah. I mean, just to speak on what you just said a second ago too, is like, we've all had the same problems that coaches have been having for generations. But the difference is, like, when you are having that issue, like when I was having issues with parents or with administrators at a job, or when Kyle had those issues, or he had, you know, players who weren't completely bought in, whatever, it's one thing to use someone else's solution, and it's another thing entirely to come up with your own based on the information and your ground zero of what you have. And I think that's where the real magic happens in our groups is, yeah, like one of our guys is a D2 head coach on the women's side up in Rochester. And he has his own set of issues. He has his own set of pain points. And his solutions may not work for the exact same pain point that a high school coach in Florida has. They can talk about it, but what's really important is that when they go through that pathway and they actually reflect on what their pain point is individually, that's where like the magic of, okay, I'm going to own this solution because I came up with it, because it solves my unique problem, even though the actual problem itself is not very unique. Everybody's gone through it, but everybody's context is different. And that's a really powerful thing when you have that community of people who are not only there to provide you with some advice, and like we are obviously there kind of manufacturing a lot of that as well, but you can come to your own conclusions about what's important in your program because it's aligned to all of the things we talked about before, right? Like your values, your inner voice, your mission, your vision, all of those things, to where the solution can align and create some congruence with what you want to happen and what's actually going to happen. And it allows for coaches to sleep at night. I don't know, Kyle, if you want to tell one of the stories. You're much better at that than I am with the success stories and the feel good.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, give us an example of somebody that came in with a situation and came out with a solution that worked. Just give us a success story. Give us one of those feel good stories.
So I'll go back to the Asim, correct me, but I think it was the very first session that we had 20 weeks ago. And we've got a very successful girls program that, you know, went like 22-2 and was probably well on their way to winning a state championship had COVID not gotten in the way. And it's funny real quick. You say we all have the same problems over and over again until there's a pandemic, and then we finally have a new problem.
Right. Yeah, I guess right? That's a new problem right. For sure.
But to your point, to have a community that's all going through that similar thing and all in different places, like we've got coaches in, you know, Ohio that are playing football right now. We have coaches in Pennsylvania that aren't. We have coaches in Oregon that aren't, but Louisiana is different. And so anyway, just sort of being able to go through something brand new, even if that does occur, having that in place. But anyway, to your point, going all the way back to that first session, they have a ton of talent. And we get this sort of hear this same old story. And we hear this in Lead 'Em Up a lot of times too. Like, we have good kids. You know, it's not that we have like bad leadership or we have bad kids or we have like bad character issues. And we're sort of setting that bar at like the bare minimum, you know, like our kids don't get arrested, or, you know, or they're not failing drug tests. So right. We don't have bad character issues. You know, they don't cheat on tests. You know, they go to school. And it's like, well, that's kind of sort of the bare minimum of how we want our, you know, our kids to kind of carry themselves and represent our programs. And we're on that call and the coach is talking about like, our kids have good character. You know, we have high character kids, da, 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 da. And, but then they go off on this thing where they're like, but, you know, they've got bad body language, or the kid will get beat baseline 3 times in a row, or, you know, they won't return a text message. And we kind of think about like character as being like, oh, I didn't murder anybody. Like, that's the only thing that character sort of is held up to. And Asim gets credit for this. He should be the one telling the story, really. Is that he's like, hold on. You say you have high character kids, but you have kids that don't return a text. Or you have a girl who constantly gets beat baseline when she's not supposed to. You know, or we have kids that don't thank their passer, or they've got bad body language and they get pulled out. And so when we reframe the definition of character as the repeatability of those habits, repeatability of those good habits, the consistency of those, then that coach like just stopped and almost like fell out of her chair. She was like, oh my God, our kids have terrible character, you know? And it wasn't like that was a bad thing, but that was the awareness and the epiphany that we sort of had to get to for her to reframe and rethink the way all of their daily conversations were taking place. And so that leads us into a conversation on culture versus climate. We're all about culture these days with coaches. And you mentioned earlier, like last 10, 15 years, that's really changed. It's culture, 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 culture. But almost nobody spends any time talking about climate. What we're actually doing in our day-to-day to take all of those great words off of the t-shirt, the wristband, or off the wall and actually put them into place on the floor. And we talk about character being part of our culture. Well, really, it's a part of our climate and how we're being consistent in repeating the behaviors or the habits that we really want to have. And I mean, that's sort of how we kicked this whole thing off, was with that moment right there. And I think we've referred to that particular moment and that particular session almost every week we've been together, because that was such a massive moment for that particular coach. And then taking that to her head coach and then getting to the players and then just sort of hearing all the successive success stories that they've had about all those other little bitty things in their daily climate that are getting better just simply because we reframed and rethought of, you know, how we were viewing a particular term.
I think that's a great point. I think it's one that sometimes coaches struggle with because they come up with whatever you want to call them, their standards, their pillars, the words that their program is going to be built around. And you put them on a t-shirt or you put them on a poster, you have them around and you carry that as a coach. And you kind of have an idea of what that means to you as a coach. So if I say, character is going to be one of the pillars of our program, or I say communication is going to be one of the pillars of our program, or, you know, we're going to be a team that has high energy. Okay, great. What does that actually mean? If I'm a player and my coach comes to me and says, okay, this year's team, we're about communication, character, and energy. And I'm sitting there in the locker room on the bench looking at my coach and, okay, great. Now, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do to be able to instill that in myself as a player so that it actually translates so we're getting those things? So how important is it to you guys to make sure that when you come up with those words, those pillars, those standards, to me, it's important to make sure that there are specific behaviors or actions attached to them that the coaching staff is looking for from the players or from each other or from other members of the staff. And then I think it's really important that then you have to identify those things when they happen and point them out so that you continue to get them repeated. Because if you don't, if you just talk about them, but you never ask anybody to perform any action or behavior around those words, and then you don't recognize them when you see them, then it just becomes, again, a word on a wall and not really something that's part of what you're trying to build as your culture of your program.
Right. And so the actionable part actually comes from our athletes who set the standards themselves based on what the coach is saying. So, you know, using those words, I can't remember exactly what they are, but, you know, communication, energy, and character. Well, all right. So we have a process that we take coaches through. And we're like, all right, how would you define that? And they go through this pretty lengthy process, but then we give that to them as part of their membership and say, hey, take this with you, do this with your team, and then our calls are going to be focused on helping you stay true to that. When the pressure comes to go find another player, go win more games, you can lean on this, because it's infinitely harder to coach to that standard than it is to just coach to win that one game. And so what really we've found is, like, you know, regardless of the story that Kyle told, even a more recent one happened today. You know, we have a coach in our cohorts who's from Pittsburgh. And this guy, like, was a couple weeks ago, was like ready to cut this kid from his team because he was like, I just can't handle the attitude, this, you know, character this, character that. And we were like, hold on, slow down. Like, let's go through this process with this player. Let's try this with this player. And we get almost a novel of text messages today from that same coach. Like, I've got this kid, like, human component. That was the text that led it all off. It was just human component. And so for him, it was about creating commitment. And his guys all had individual motivations. So he had to get to where they could raise their awareness to what their individual commitments are. And then he could hold them accountable to something. And so he put forth all that energy to get those commitments in the first place. And now all he's going to do is give feedback on just those commitments, nothing else. Because those commitments are things that those kids can control. How often are we giving feedback as coaches on things that kids have no ability to control? And that just leads to more frustration. When if we have those defined values, we have the defined mission and vision, that's for the coaches. All of that stuff gets taken and bottled up, and the kids or the athletes or the players, whatever, they're not all kids, they get to set, hey, this is what I'm going to be committed to, and this is what our team is going to commit to doing. These are the behaviors that are going to guide those values and take them off the wall and put them into what we do on a daily basis. And we have some proprietary things that we do with our coaches that get them to that point. And then our job as sort of their allies and their holistic coach development is to keep them on that track and give them and help them discover more of those strategies on how to actually give that feedback, how to embed this stuff rather than just emphasizing it, embedding it into their daily. And that's really, to me, is probably the most fun challenge that you can ask as you know, as an ally for coach development. It's like, hey, I'm going to help you do this, but it's going to be your idea and you're going to do the heavy lifting. My job is to sit here and listen and ask you questions so that you can pull out the solution you've already had inside of you. And it's not somebody else's solution, it's your solution.
Yeah, it's almost a trickle-down effect where it comes from you guys to the group, to the coach, and then eventually it trickles down to the players. And when you get everybody in the program that's on board, that's trying to live up to, again, whatever it is, the standards that the coach wants to set, the vision that they have for their program, that's where I think things really start to work and really start to happen. We're coming up here, guys, on an hour and a half. So before we wrap up, I want to give you a chance to share where people can reach out to you, where they can find you, share all your social media so that everyone out there knows where they can find out more about what you guys are doing, because it's great stuff. And I can see from the enthusiasm that both of you bring to the table that any coach who gets an opportunity to be a part of what you're building is going to feel like they got tremendous value from it, not only with their experiences with you guys, but then the experiences that they're going to take back that's going to positively impact their team all the way around across the board. So go ahead and share your contact information, and then I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
Kyle, you can go first.
Yeah. So the best way to really get in touch with us is just go to the website, www.essential-coaching.net. And if you haven't already, click that subscribe button, put your email in there, and then get on our list. And that lets us know, gets our first connection established, gets you on our mailing list. We send out content weekly, sometimes a little bit more than that. And just so we can kind of get to know who you are and get that first part established. Another great way to just get in touch with us is we're very active on social media, on Twitter. My coaching handle or Twitter handle is at CoachK424, and our DMs are constantly open. So anybody feel free to reach out to either email us or, you know, be a little more personal with that, you know, reach out to us and hit us at on DM or email is admin@essential-coaching.net.
Yeah, and so to follow up on that, my Twitter is at Rastogi, Rastogi underscore Aseem, Aseem. And this is a standing invitation to any coach, teacher, athletic director, administrator that's listening. Of the millions and millions of the Hoopheads Pod fans, well, I know there are. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, we do what's called EC Rocket Chat. It is a Twitter chat, and you just follow the hashtag. So it's hashtag ECRACA chat. And that's every Monday night at 8 p.m. We have a series of five questions that go out. And we're interactive. It's a live chat, and we invite anybody to join us. And if you find value in that, please consider, again, like Kyle said, subscribing to the website. And open enrollment is right now. Jump in while the jumping in is good, and let's get this thing going.
Aseem and Kyle, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight and spending an hour and a half of your time to share with us what you guys have been able to build in such a short period of time. The value that you're going to provide for coaches in the years to come and the impact that you're going to have on those coaches and then consequently downstream all of their players, you're probably not even going to be able to measure it. And I'm sure that when you have time to reflect on it at some point in the future, when you're not building the website at 3 a.m., that you're going to be very, very proud of the impact that you've been able to have in the sporting world through what you guys have been able to build. So kudos to both of you for what you've been able to do. For coaches out there who are part of our audience, I hope that you'll give Essential Coaching a look. These two guys, if you had a chance to listen tonight and you made it to the end of the episode, you know the type of guys that they are and the value that they're going to provide. So again, Aseem and Kyle, can't thank you guys enough for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.